Okay. I know that. Well, I think that that's why I'm getting the emotion. Okay, let's do this.
So 5, 4, 3.
Welcome to the Queer Mercado podcast. This is where you'll listen to LGBTQ plus vendors, artists, and creators that make up the Queer Mercado community. You will hear their stories, their motivations, and get to experience their magic. I'm your host, Gaudencio Marquez, one of the founding organizers of the Queer Mercado, a network weaver by profession, and a crochet artist. I can't believe that this is our last episode of our first season, and I'm super honored to be able to chat with the visionary behind our work, Diana Diaz. She envisioned both the goddess and the Queer Mercado, and because of her courageous leadership, we are here today. Diana is a counselor, a former street vendor, the first Chicana luxury leather designer from East Los Angeles, founder of Mexi Chic Crafts, and I'm so excited to be here. Are y'all ready? Let's get to this. Órale. Hola, Diosa. ¿Cómo estás? Looking so fabulous and shiny over here. ¿Cómo estás?
I'm feeling very fabulosa. Thank you for asking me. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for being a part of our Mercados, Gal. Te quiero.
Thank you, Diana. Thank you. You know, when I started preparing for this conversation, I really honestly started getting a bit emotional because I can't believe that we're where we're at today, Diana. That a year and a half later, that we are at a place where I feel like we've accomplished so much, you know, and I can't thank you enough for reaching out to me, right? But also for seeing something in me, in us, in the possibilities, and that you envision something that I didn't know could exist. You know, that little queer brown boy that I grew up out in the Coachella Valley, literally surrounded by grape fields. I never imagined that I could feel validated as an entire human. And this is the first time that I'm feeling that. And a lot of it is because of you. Like, I'm like getting emotional, just really honestly thinking about this, Diana, but te lo agradezco de todo corazón that you randomly just reached out to me a year ago and that we're here and that we're creating something so powerful and so beautiful that I just can't thank you enough. How are you feeling? I know, I'm sorry I'm making you cry, pero how are you feeling about everything that has been accomplished?
You never told me this before, by the way. So it's powerful. And you know what? Oh my gosh, thank you, Gao. I love you. And you know what? I fell in love with you the first day I saw you on Instagram. It's crazy. But I love like that. This is how I love, you know? It was love at first sight. And I was so hoping that you were straight. You know? And I saw you and I would tell you that you were goddess sent. And I didn't see just one thing in you. I saw a lot. And you have a lot of magic. And that's what you put out in your Queer Magic Wednesdays. And I'm so happy that, you know, we have this beautiful love affair that now includes Ryan and even Eduardo. And I'm so grateful for you.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah.
And making me feel so special.
Of course. I mean, like look at what we, you know, because of you. And obviously, it's a community effort,
yes.
Right? And community trusted us in this process as well. And so a lot of it is due to the community and people coming through and saying, I want this and I want to be a part of this. And at the same time, it also takes courageous leadership like yours to be able to create spaces like this, right? And I wanna talk a little bit about sort of why you decided to create and create the Goddess Mercado and then the Queer Mercado. Well, tell us sort of what motivated you to start them.
Well, I am, you know, I was pitch it to everyone. I'm a former street vendor and I grew up selling at swap meets with my parents, street vending, you know, to make ends meet. And my parents purchased a couple of homes and they paid everything cash. And, you know, they used us, you know, the children to sell the product. We were all cute. I was the cutest. Yeah, my brothers are going to get mad. But I learned, you know, how to sell, how to vend. And I realized that there's an art to it. Not only was I selling and vending, but I was putting myself out there, and I was meeting people and developing relationships. And, you know, a lot of the people that were supporting us were repeat customers, returnees. And I kind of like that, you know, I like that energy. You know, when people support you, when they borrow product from you, they're loving you. And I became addicted to that love. And well, I got married, I was raising my son, and I had issues in my relationship, and I wanted to be a great example in my community. I grew up here in City Terrace. I still live here. I work here. You know, I tell everybody I shop here. I love here. And I know that I'm very visible in the community, especially with the students and their parents. So I want to be a great example. No longer wanted to be, you know, that toxic person that I was with myself, you know, not with anybody else. So I decided to funnel my energy into something productive, like the purse designs. And I had been designing for a while and working in manufacturing. But, you know, up to then, it evolved into leather. And a couple of years into, you know, the pandemic hit, and I was getting itchy and antsy again to be out at a space and kind of recreate, you know, where my parents had us at a swap meet for like 22 years. Mm-hmm. These people at the swap meet became our family. Mm-hmm. They were vendors. They would help us with their tent. They would bring dinner, lunch for us. You know, we would go to their parties and we would buy from each other, support each other, share customers. And, you know, whenever I got to go to the swap meet on my own a couple of times as a teenager, and I felt safe because of the community that existed. Mm-hmm. And in popping up in a variety of places, sometimes I felt exploited or undervalued or not really supported, or I would show up in places where I didn't know the vendors or the community. I didn't feel safe. I didn't feel comfortable asking for help. So when I would talk to my vending friends, I would say, you know, wouldn't it be cool to have a space where your sisters are there, your family is there, the kids, you know, you feel safe. And that was my inspiration for the Goddess Mercado. It started first in the community in a small space, you know, until eventually we got to the Hilda Solis Learning Academy. And that was the inspiration behind that. Wow.
And then all of a sudden you're like, I'm not done.
I was like, wait a minute. Hold up.
There's more.
Because I'm a school counselor in East LA, and I'm a mother, and, you know, I'm working to empower and guide children in East LA. What I found, something that was very conflicting with me, that really hurt me, was a lot of kids were coming out as queer. Mm-hmm. And they would come out to me before they would come out to their parents. This is both male, female. And it was so troubling for me as a mother, as a member of the community, to see what was happening to these kids. A lot of these kids were engaging in very toxic behavior, self-injurious behavior. They were suicidal, and all because they were being rejected by their families. And I was working with the families, mostly moms. And in talking to the moms, you know, I learned that these mothers love their children. You know, they're willing to give their life for the kids. But, you know, they fear the machismo. They fear the man in their home. They fear the machismo in our community, the rejection. And you know, I would look for resources. And at the time, you know, I didn't find a lot of LGBTQ centers in the community. I'd send families to Hollywood, the LGBTQ center in Hollywood. And I couldn't let go of that. I couldn't believe it. And it still wasn't widely accepted in the community. And that's just recently. My son was only like 3 years old. He's 15 now. And I kept in touch because I felt I was able to empower and connect with a lot of students. I kept in touch with many of them. You know, coming out is queer. That means if you're coming out to me, you love me. You trust me. You know that I'm going to help you. So I was able to keep in touch with a lot of these students, and we would often talk about it. And we talked about a lot of kids who were surviving hate crimes in our community, you know, and that I told you that hurt me. I have queer family. I have queer friends. I have queer tendencies, you know, like it's not okay for you to not to be able to be yourself in your own community. So I had reached out to one particular former student. And he was my model. You know, I told him, we need to, you know, I love queerness. You know, my happiest moments are where my queer friends, you know, I want to do queer fashion, you know, and I really love queer fabulousness. you know, and how a queer personality puts themselves out there. I think it's so freeing. I think it's so inspiring. So my student was one of my models. And we talked about, like, where do we go in East LA for queers? Nowhere, only bars. Yeah. And I was like, we need a queer space. And that was the inspiration. And I said, you know, we need to start a mercado, the Chicano queer mercado, because I'm like super Chicana. Yeah. You know, like you need to know that I'm Chicana power. I'm daughter of Mexican immigrants. So is everyone else that I love, not just Mexican, but, you know, all of, you know, Latino America. You know, a lot of my friends are Guatemalan, Salvadorian, you know, all that, which, you know, I consider Chicanos as well, the Chicano experience. So we talked about it. And I felt the more queers were talking about their experiences, the more it resonated with me. Like, this has to happen. You know, I'm an entrepreneur. You know, I'm a counselor. I'm surrounded by youth, creative youth. And that's where their inspiration came from. Yeah. That's just the inspiration, not actually moving forward with it.
I appreciate hearing this story because there's so much of our respective stories that guide us and that motivate us to do the work that we do, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that this is telling to, like, the space that has been created, both the goddess and the queer, because it's celebratory, absolutely, 100%, but it's also uplifting. It's also about, like, recognizing that our communities are talented, we're beautiful, we have so much to offer, and what has been created is exactly all of that.
It's powerful. Yeah. And you know what I'm learning as a counselor? I learned in guiding, I also trained other counselors. Yeah. I was teaching graduate level counseling courses. And in working with all the counselors, you know, we were all conflicted with you know, supporting LGBTQ kids effectively. Uh-huh. And what I learned is that it's so important for us to display, to have visible representation, yes, of our culture, whether it's, you know, Chicano, you know, Central American, white, whatever, you know, queer. Because when you have visible representation of culture, it gives you a strong sense of identity. You know who you are. Yeah. Like, you claim you're the queer brown boy. Yeah. You know, it gives you a very strong sense of identity. And having a strong sense of identity gives you a lot of confidence. Yeah. And also the visibility in our community and increases tolerance. Yeah. And with more tolerance, that eventually comes acceptance.
I mean, we have to continue to create these spaces for LGBTQ youth, right? Like, at the end of the day, it's for everybody.
Yeah,
And I think that one of the things that is really interesting, and this is something that I actually... And it's triggering this thought because because of your story and how you're describing why you envisioned this, but... This is a revelation that I recently had. And you know, because I've gone through therapy, I've gone through different things, right? And so I've never fully understood why there are certain spaces I don't find myself being validated or understood or different things, right? Like, where I don't feel like I fit into a lot of different places. Like, familia and cultura are a big part of who I am, right? At the same time, I always found like there was a part of me that was never fully accepted in certain spaces, right? And then my queerness, like, I would find myself in Hollywood or in different, and I never found myself really fully accepted there either, right? Because it usually traditionally white spaces, right? Like, and so now, like, what you're describing is this idea of really sort of creating space for youth and for all of us to really sort of be able to say, I belong.
And don't you feel like your queerness, when you're in a space like this, is a little more subdued?
Yes. Yeah.
But I've also seen how you've evolved.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. That's like 100%.
Tell me.
That's exactly it. And this is why this space is so important. And I thank you so much for envisioning this. And I appreciate hearing your story in the behind, because even as a 42-year-old, yeah, 42. This right now, what you're describing is sort of the process that I had to go through as well, right? And that people like you are creating safe spaces for younger folk, for older adults, and that's powerful. There's a strong allyship there that you're saying, like, no, we have to. So gracias. again, I keep, I think that that's going to be our theme today. Gratitude and gracias.
Yeah. I'm grateful for you because, you know, the space has done what it's done for you. And I'm going to point this out, God. I'm sorry to
tell me,
but
say it.
From day one to now, I see you. You flip, aunque estás pelón, you flipping your hair. You're polishing your nails. You're walking around with color, with fabulousness, with freedom, with love, with you know, initiative to improve the space. And I'm very proud of that. I'm very proud of you. You're really owning the spaces. So is everyone else. So am I.
Yeah,
you know, and it's very powerful to be in a space where you're accepted, where you can be yourself, where you could be fabulous.
Fabuloso, like, you know. Fabulosa, todos. I mean, were we just at the mayor's event in downtown LA? Yeah. Y everybody was like, ¿y estos quién son?
Crowns with, you know,
feathers,
with our moños. It's beautiful and it's powerful and. You know, you feel confident with your adornments.
Yeah.
And it's something that I used to try to hide myself. And I didn't like that you know, certain individuals in my own family weren't comfortable with me representing who I am. And when working with the queer youth, you know, I was like, are you freaking serious?
Yeah.
Like, you can't be you? You know, how painful is that? Because I was kind of experiencing the same.
Yeah.
Same thing. I couldn't be extremely fabulosa like I'm feeling now.
Tell me a little bit more about that, though.
Well, you know, I'm Chicana. I listened to my mom and my dad. My dad was super machista and you know, I was kind of repressed. And you have to marry virgin, you know, and listen to your mom and listen to your man. And you know, I had a series of boyfriends. I'm a big romantic guy. I always fall in love with everybody. You know, especially the gorgeous Latino men. And I ended up getting married. But, you know, as I evolved, I felt like I no longer wanted to be a married woman because I couldn't be me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I started reading a lot of feminists. And I read the Women That Run With Wolves. And I was, you know, surrounding myself with all these like powerful women. And I felt like I wanted to be one of them. I was inspired by them. And I wanted to be free. And it's funny because I started collecting dresses, you know, these fabulous dresses that I wanted to wear that at the time, like when I put on outfits like this, like what I'm wearing now, you know, my family was like, ¡qué ridícula! Where are you going? I was like, I'm going nowhere. I'm going to wash the dishes. And now, you know, like I slowly started pulling out my dresses from my closet and I wear them to the mercado and I'm wearing my crown and I'm wearing them to these speaking engagements and I'm wearing them to hang out with you, you know, because I feel very accepted.
Yeah.
I feel very welcome. I feel very loved for being me.
Yeah.
It's powerful.
It is powerful. The power of being accepted and feeling love for everything that we are.
For wearing my crown.
You know, we're also talking about our own healing processes, right?
Yeah.
And the traumas that we've experienced is for different reasons. Our cultura has caused some of that trauma as well. As much as we love it, right? And what we're doing is we're creating spaces to also heal.
Yeah. For our youth, powerful. You know. And as a school counselor, you know, the training that I got and working in my community that I love so much, that it was a community that at one point I thought of leaving. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to leave East LA. This is a ghetto. What am I doing here? And all of my friends were like leaving to, you know, outside of out of LA. And when I started working here and working with the youth, I saw myself in the youth that I was working with. It was almost the same experience, very similar experiences. And you know, when I became a mother, you know, like a mother, like a real mother, I realized that I was not just a mother to Luke, to my child. I was also a mother for these kids.
Yeah.
I felt a strong sense of responsibility in working towards empowering my community, towards creating opportunities that can inspire these kids, that can funnel their their negative energy that they were feeling, the depression, the self-injurious behavior, into something positive. And, you know, as an entrepreneur, especially when you're selling your own product, you have the ability to challenge yourself, to funnel that energy into a creation. Mm-hmm. And once you have this beautiful product that somebody else loves, yeah. that somebody else purchases, you know, that's healing. Yeah. To me, that's been healing. When I see somebody wearing my fanny, sometimes I cry, you know, and I find so much power in nurturing, you know, the that entrepreneurial spirit yeah. in a student, in a youth, you know, and it creates opportunities for them to survive, to be yeah. okay, believe yeah. it or not.
We have to normalize this idea of what familia looks like. Right. That is, yeah, it can be biological and it's also chosen. And sometimes we're choosing our familia because of everything that we
I choose you. I chose you.
You. Oh, we're having a moment.
We've had many moments. Hasta sacaste las niñas, remember?
But that's what familia does.
I love that.
We connect, yeah. you know, when you reached out to me, I was like, let's do this. Let's move forward. The first person that I thought of to bring on board was Ryan. Ryan came on board and it was almost like this beautiful, like, marriage, right? Yeah. What does Ryan call it? He called it this.
A threesome.
It is really cool, right? Like that.
I'm the ham, you're the bread.
Andale. And you know, it's cool to kind of see sort of that evolution of where we're at now and what we're envisioning and how we're talking about this as well. So within that context of familia, I also want to kind of transition a little bit. I want to continue to learn from you and learn about you. You have your own brand.
Yeah.
In addition to being a counselor, in addition to launching the Goddess in the Queer Mercado, you also have your own business. You're a badass.
Thank you.
Tell us about what, like, how you started this, why you started Mexi Chic Crafts.
Well, I did it, you know, to work on my mental health. You know, I wanted to keep busy. I was, like, drinking a lot and partying it up and, you know, like, hanging out with all my friends and not really being productive, more like self-injurious, you know, my health. And maybe even neglecting my son a bit, you know. At night when I would leave, he's like, where are you going? And I would say, I'm going to work. And then he got to one point where he saw me all dressed up. He said, you're going to work again? I was like, what's he going to think that I'm working on, you know? And it obviously, you know, it's also affected my marriage, you know? And so I decided, you know, I want to sell these purses. I was already creating purses. I learned how to manufacture purses with my family because my family, my dad was a tailor, my mom was a seamstress, and my dad taught me how to make my own clothes and my handbags. And he was working for an interior designer that worked with fabulous textiles. Okay. And he told me, hey, you know, that they're throwing away all these textiles. And I thought of you. You knew I was creative. He said, you want to go after hours and dumpster dive? I was like, let's go. And we were dumpster diving for these fabulous tapestry, denim, satins, velvets. And I started designing and making handbags and selling them at a variety of swap meets. I sold them on Melrose. I went to the Outpost, was doing consignment. I sent some to Chicago to my cousins, you know. And I ended up getting an order from Art & B, which is a high-end boutique from Wet Seal. And I realized my potential, even though I didn't continue because it was so much work. I didn't have a network. I didn't have resources. I didn't have capital. I didn't have anything. And then when you're working for big corporations like this, they usually pay you net 30 in like a month after you deliver the product. So that was a huge challenge for me. I took a big break. I finished school. And, you know, then when I started again, I decided to do leather because I had a lot of competition at the markets with my other product. So I wanted a handbag that was representative of me. You know, I love luxury and I wanted Chicana luxury. And, I was inspired by little bolsitas my grandmother used to bring. They used to be hand-painted, and you get them at the border for a couple of bucks. And I always loved bolsas. I always loved feeling fabulous when I was little. And I was like, I want something like that, but more upscale. So I started working with my manufacturer. I started designing and, you know, traveling up to Mexico to meet a variety of artists, crafters, designers. And they helped me bring my my product to life, you know, my designs. And now, you know, several designs in, I have a whole variety of lines. And I've even partnered up recently with, I don't know if I told you, with American Cancer Society. Yeah. I'm launching a Chi-Chi purse. It's a really beautiful purse full of breasts. And I'm going to do a vagina one. I have a God Rules one because I'm really inspired by me finding God and my spirituality and God blessing me with the growth of my business, the market, with the relationship I saw with you. Mm. You know, I feel like such, I'm so blessed, and I have no shame in letting you know that it was God or goddess that has helped me, you know, and that's where my inspiration comes from.
Wow. And I mean, if people who are listening have not experienced Diana's products, like, make sure you stop by. Tell us a little. Well, first of all, like, it is incredible. It is beautiful. Like, you, it's a whole experience, right? I have a few of your pieces. I have a few, two fanny packs, a red and a green. And I love wearing them. And everybody's always like, yes, where did you get that? Where can people find your products?
So, of course, I'm at the Goddess Mercado, second Saturday of every month, and the Queer Mercado, the third Saturday of every month. And I'm also at the Goddess Mercado Boutique. Mm. I'm at the Plaza de Cultura y Arte in downtown. I'm at Adelita's Revenge. I recently got into the Museum of Latin American Art in Long Beach. Thank you. I'm at Casita del Pueblo in Whittier. I'm at the Plus Bus now in Highland Park. Okay. And I'm at Mercadito Monarca in Pasadena. Okay. And, you know, I'm working on expanding, you know, having a wider reach. You know, but it does take a lot of time, a lot of work.
But check you out. I mean, you're like, how many did we just count? Like 10 different places that you're
almost,
at?
Yeah.
Felicidades.
Thank you. Powerful. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work, and it's keeping me busy, but I'm doing something productive, you know, and I know that my work is inspiring others.
Yeah. And you're bringing magic and beautiful and beauty into the world.
And fashion. And fabulousness. And I tell everybody, I tell all my customers, you know what? You're buying a purse from me, right? And you're supporting Chicana power. Mm. You know, a woman that has a lot of love, that loves fashion. And I'm trying to compete with Gucci. And you never know.
They actually cannot compete with you.
That's what the ladies tell me. But, you know, I'm okay with owning that now. I'm okay with owning. I'm the first Chicana luxury leather designer from and in East LA. Because I can't wait around for anyone to give me a title. I have to give it to myself and believe in it and own it and move towards it. And eventually, you know, my dream will come true.
You're an inspiration, and I'm hoping folks listening can capture that, because you're magical in all fronts. So thank you for doing everything that you're doing. I'm going to transition a little bit. You know, I asked this question. It's a reflective question. Whenever we reflect on our upbringings and our younger selves, I always hope that we can look back and see that we are making our younger selves proud of who we are or who we are becoming. What is one thing that your younger self is jumping for joy and saying, I'm so proud of you, Diana. I'm so proud of you because, what is that?
I think of that question because I've heard all your podcasts and I know you're going to ask me and I'm so ready. And one thing that I'm jumping for joy is that I can finally be me with those that love me, with those that had a difficult time accepting me, even my own family. Mm-hmm. And there, because they see who I really am and how much I love, you know, I they're accepting it, and that feels so amazing. And my younger self is jumping for joy to know that I could be fabulosa, that I could be majadera, that I could be loving, that I could be myself and still be loved and accepted. And that's a powerful feeling. Oh. It's inspiring me to do more, to love more, to put myself out there more, because you know what? I'm okay. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with me.
That nothing. Absolutely nothing. Hashtag poderosa. That's all I can say. Yeah. And so I'm bummed that we have to end this conversation. Pero before we go, do you have any advice for our listeners?
I do. And I keep thinking of me as a young girl. You know what? Oh, this makes me emotional. Me as a young Chicana, daughter of immigrants. You know, I was vegetarian for like a year. You know, and I thought my parents were like, "You're vegetarian." Later, and I realized we're vegetarian because we're pobres. You know, yeah. Not because we couldn't eat meat, but yeah. As a young girl, you know, I think like, what could I tell other young girls, other young kids, other queers, you know, that are trying to launch their product or their business, you know? And I think that it's important to look for those people that inspire you and try to learn from them. Yeah. Also, nothing is perfect. If you're going to wait around to do something perfect, you're never going to launch yourself. It's okay to make mistakes. It's okay if you think your product is a little inferior because you push yourself to develop it, to do something better. So it's okay to make mistakes, you know, and I tell everyone because I like to work out. I like to lift weights. Uh-huh. You know, when I first started, my hands were full of blisters. Uh-huh. But the more I worked out, you know, now I have calluses. Uh-huh. And I'm proud of them. I'm proud of these calluses. Nothing's going to hurt me now. I can lift anything. And that comes with experience. That comes with trial and error. That comes with putting yourself out there. That comes with not giving up. That comes with a lot of self-reflection. And that comes to me with a lot of self-talk, because I do have those moments where, like, I'm exhausted, or where, you know, I might have been late to my son's meeting, you know, and I think, why am I doing this? But I realize, like, I'm freaking kicking ass. And I'm setting a great example for my son. And I'm no huevona. I'm not doing something that is hurting anybody. I'm doing something that is helping my community. I'm putting myself out there. I'm exploiting my own uniqueness in service of others. So, and you know what? I'm being accepted by those that belong in my circle. So you, young brown boy, young brown, put yourself out there. Make mistakes. Learn from them. Look for people that inspire you. Books, podcasts, environments like the Goddess and the Queer Mercado, because you will definitely find a lot of inspiration. You're going to find people that want to support you, your uniqueness, your talents, your fabulousness.
Right. Y'all heard it here from our goddess, Diana. Go out there and just figure it out. Do it without fear. Even if you do have fear, do it. Gracias, Diana. So you have a special announcement.
So I do have a special announcement. But before I make this announcement, I want to thank all of the vendors that have been with us since day one, even the new ones. They've been very supportive. I want to thank the vendors for believing in us, for sticking it out with us, for being part of our community, for offering to help and volunteer, for recruiting other vendors and attendees. We couldn't have done this without you. And exactly what we're trying to do, build a community, we've achieved. We have a beautiful community now, and I'm so grateful. And with that said, you know, we're getting additional support. And our next project, because we're doing this together, is we're launching the Goddess Mercado podcast titled Fashionista Activista. Because we are all activists. We're empowering the community through our fashion, through our creativity, through our expression, and through our healing. So stay tuned. It's going to be launched soon after this podcast. Thank you so much, everyone. I'm really excited about it. And we're going to highlight an amazing lineup of current vendors at our mercado.
Yeah, so you all heard it here. Up and coming, and stay tuned to listen to the Goddess Mercado Fashionista Activista. Muchas gracias, Diana. I love talking with you. I appreciate you so much. And thank you for everything that you continue to do to uplift and celebrate community. La neta, gracias. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's an honor to be a partner in this work with you. So with that said, gracias.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you for inspiring and empowering me. I love you.
Igualmente. Mwah. Mwah. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. And don't forget that you can find us the third Saturday of each month from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Hilda Solis Learning Academy in East Los Angeles. This podcast has been made possible by the incredible leadership of our producer, Xavier Mejia, our sponsors, Kaiser Permanente, Reach LA, and a list of community backers, which you can find in the show notes. Please follow us on social media at The Queer Mercado. And for more information on this episode, please email us at thequeermercado@gmail.com. Gracias y hasta luego.